Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. You gotta play with your heart, with every ounce of fiber in your body. I've never known a man worth a soul who deep down in his heart didn't appreciate the grind, the discipline, and to win! And to win! And to win! It is and always has been an American seal, and that is to be first, regardless of what we do. There's no room for second place. There's only one place, and that's first place. I finished second twice in my time, and I don't ever want to finish second again. But I firmly hold that a man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment to anything he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lays exhausted on the field of battle. Victorious.
Vince Lombardi famously said, "Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing." Kobe Bryant said, "Winning takes precedence over all. There's no gray area, there's no almost." Here's another quote: "If winning isn't everything, then why do they keep score?" Even in our woke world, we still want to win. And we still want our team to win. And if you don't think winning is important, then I encourage you to go to a T-ball game and watch the parents. You know, my brother recently signed his son up. Here he is. His name's Dylan. He signed his son up to play peewee football. To play peewee football, he had to produce a birth certificate, a grade card, and a passport. Why? Because cheating was so rampant among the adults, and they were bringing in older kids that were really big, they actually had to make a law like this just so that they could play, because winning is everything to some people. And I enjoy athletics. When I played athletics, I wanted to win. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to win. I think athletics teaches us some good lessons here. But there's some problems with the attitude of winning at all cost. We want to win on the job. We want to win in our family. We want to win in our personal life. And any obstacle and any weakness must not be tolerated. It must be defeated. Failure is not to be accepted, and neither is weakness. You can find motivational material about overcoming weaknesses, turning weaknesses into strengths, but you're going to have a hard time finding the idea of owning your weakness. Today, we hear things like, don't be weak. Don't be seen as a failure. Don't let anybody see you weak. Here's the idea. Don't let anyone see you sweat. Don't give people the satisfaction of watching you suffer. When I played football, if I got hit hard and I landed on my butt, I popped right up. Like it didn't even hurt me. Because you don't want to see, you want people to see you suffer. Here's what we hear so commonly. Don't admit your weaknesses. Cover them up. Under no circumstances are you to let a weakness define you. If you're a man, you are weak, then you are not masculine. So don't let your weaknesses win. Now, these may be words spoken by a football coach, but they're not words found in scriptures. I'm thinking of a girl born in 1949. Here's a picture of her. She was the youngest of four daughters. Her father was an athlete. He was an alternate in the 1932 Summer Olympics for the U.S. wrestling team. So she came from an athletic family. She loved riding horses, she loved hiking, she loved tennis, and she loved swimming. At 17 years old, she dove into some water and misjudged how shallow it was, and she fractured her fourth and fifth cervical vertebrae, and she was paralyzed from her shoulders down. At 17 years old, she had her whole life before her. So what did she do? Well, she was a Christian. So she did what all Christians are told to do. She prayed. Now, if anybody was a candidate for healing, I would say this girl would be the one. And she even went to a faith healing service. But the one doing the healing did not come to the wheelchair section. So she gave up. She wanted to die. She was angry. She doubted God. She thought, what kind of Savior, what kind of healer would refuse the prayers of an honest paralytic? And she asked that she be shut up in her room and left alone. And she told her sister, if I can't be healed, I don't want to live. Leave me alone. You know, there's a myth that's been going around the church for quite a while that a strong Christian is never weak. A strong Christian is always smiling. They're never harmed by life. So lots of pain is never even talked about because we don't want to be weak. A strong Christian takes their problems to the Lord and they always put on a strong front. But nobody goes through life never experiencing weakness. So what happens when you pray and nothing changes? The health issue, the situation, the problem still persist. What happens when your prayers do not defeat the weakness? Well, sometimes we pull away. We avoid people. We avoid the public. We hide out. We don't want people to know. We're ashamed of our weakness. So we hide from people and we try to ignore God. But we're not alone. There's a better way to handle things. But I believe this is a common struggle. Even one of the most well-known New Testament writers struggled with this also, the Apostle Paul. Remember about Apostle Paul. Now, he had a great formal education as a Pharisee. He had an amazing conversion story, but he was plagued by a weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul begins by describing an amazing supernatural experience where God allowed him to see heaven itself. It was mind-blowing, and the Apostle Paul basically says, I can't even tell you about it. But what he says as a result of the experience is one of the most perplexing scriptures in the Bible. So if you turn with me, we'll read that today. 2 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. Because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says, I was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't really know what this thorn was. Some people believe it was an eye disease. Some people think it was malaria. Some people have some other physical or spiritual problem. But it isn't uncommon. I believe that most mature Christians have something in their life that they have asked God to remove, and He hasn't. They have some kind of affliction. It could be a physical affliction. It could be a spiritual affliction. But whatever it is, it leaves them weak. So what do we do when we prayed about something to be removed from our life and God's answer is no? Well, what we see from Paul is that we are to own that weakness. So what does this mean? Well, let me give you three answers from Scripture here. The first answer, owning your weakness, means praising God for allowing it. Paul praises God for his experience of seeing heaven, but it left him tempted to boast. Verse 7, therefore, to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. I want you to notice, Paul doesn't say this thorn was good. God created the world. He did not write suffering into the script. Paul says it was a messenger from Satan. Satan isn't good. Weakness is a consequence of darkness. Romans chapter 5 says, because of one man's sin, death entered the world. And with sin came all kinds of problems, the problems that we see around us. The Bible says God can use suffering as a teaching method. Sometimes it's a classroom that He uses. But God doesn't cause suffering. He doesn't inflict it. He uses it. Now be very careful. If you see somebody suffering and you tell them that it's God's will that they're suffering, because most of the suffering we face can be traced back to living in a sinful world. This sounds confusing. Why do I praise God for allowing this thorn in my life? Because God has some purpose for it. Now, God is strong enough to remove that weakness. You remember the ministry of Jesus. He encountered the forces of darkness all the time. He healed people. That was an act of spiritual warfare. 40% of the gospel stories are about Jesus assaulting spiritual weaknesses. So we know that God has the power. He can eliminate every weakness if He chooses. Verse 8 continues, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Paul asked God to take it away. This messenger from Satan. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking God to heal our weaknesses. And God doesn't rebuke Paul for asking. Paul knew that God had the power to remove it. But the answer was no. Now, my friends, when you pray that a weakness be removed, and you do it with persistence, and God doesn't act to remove it, one of the things we have to conclude is that He has a purpose for it continuing. Now let me be clear, you may not ever know the purpose. You may never understand, but you can praise God that He answered your prayer and praise Him for allowing it because He knows what's best. What does it mean to own your weakness? The second answer, it means delighting in Jesus for using it to bring you closer to God. Paul prays that this thorn be removed, and God refuses his request. Gives him an answer, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul, you're going to have to trust me. My grace is sufficient for you. So let me just think about this a second. What would happen if God answered every single prayer that we prayed? Every time we prayed something, He answered it. Well, I can tell you one thing that would happen. Hundreds of people would start calling you, emailing you, texting you, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. You'd become a very popular person if that happened. But what about your personal life? You'd kind of think of yourself as pretty special after a while, right? I mean, I must really be spiritual. I mean, every time I pray to God, He gives me what I want. I must be an amazing spiritual person. But even the Apostle Paul got a no answer. He had to face physical, emotional suffering. It says to keep him from becoming conceited. So if you've prayed persistently about something and it's clear it's not going to be changing, we still praise God not only that He allowed it, but He's going to use it for His glory. Look at this scripture. It's on the screen. I want to read it from my Bible. This is 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. God's answer to Paul was, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And then Paul says, therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses, that Christ's power may rest in me. To be clear, Paul doesn't say that the weakness in and of itself is good. He says what is good is that his weakness causes Christ's power to rest on him. So Paul's going to embrace his weakness because it's through his weakness that God grows, that he grows closer to Jesus. It's because of his weakness that he sees Jesus more clearly. This suffering brought him to the place where he realized he needed God's grace. Think about this. If you were never faced a weakness, if you never faced a thorn, how would you ever know that you needed God's grace? Well, Johnny Erickson Tata wanted to end her life. She asked just to be shut up in her room and left alone if she couldn't be healed. She just wanted to die. But after 2 weeks, she couldn't handle anymore. She couldn't live this way. So she cried out to God, "Jesus, if I can't die," she said, "show me how to live." So her sister, who was taking care of her, put her through her bed and bath routines, and she would set her up before a music stand. And on the music stand, she put this Bible, and it had a director's baton next to it. So she could not turn the pages. So she would take the baton in her mouth, and she would turn the pages. And she was searching the Bible, looking for her purpose. God had allowed her condition, and God was keeping her here, and she wanted to try to find the purpose for her life. And God is doing the same for us. Now, Johnny, as beautiful as I think she is, she lives a very difficult life. She lives with daily chronic pain. Not only is she in a wheelchair, but she had to battle cancer recently. And she's very clear about where her strength comes from. She prays this prayer to God every day as she struggles. She prays, "I can't do quadriplegia, but I can serve you." She prays to God, "I have no energy for the day, but you do." She says, "I have no joy for the day, God, but you do." And here's a great quote from Johnny. "I've learned that the weaker we are, the more we need to lean on God, and the stronger we discover Him to be." Sometimes God doesn't remove thorns from our life. The best thing we can do is own them. But how do we do it? Third answer is asking that Jesus show through our weakness. I was talking to my brother about this passage because he's going to be preaching on it. And he said, "You know, this isn't really going to be a very appealing sermon." I said, "Yeah, pretty much no. People are not going to find a sermon on weakness very appealing because it's uncomfortable. We don't really like to identify our weaknesses, and we don't really appreciate when God presses those out of our life. We're embarrassed by them. We don't want to talk about them, so we minimize our weaknesses. We try to hide them. A Christian wants to conquer their weakness. Just let me be done with it. They think their greatest hindrance is their weakness. But when we let Jesus show through our weaknesses, it becomes our greatest strength. God told Paul, "My power is made perfect in weakness." God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." God has given us His Spirit. Remember my sermon just recently on the Holy Spirit? He is divine energy. And that's what we rest on when we're weak. Andrew Murray said, "The Christian tries to forget his weakness, but God wants us to remember it and feel it deeply." Now, Johnny Erickson Tata has embraced her quadriplegia. And she's taken it, and it's become a huge ministry that's helped millions of people. You want to know how big this ministry is? Just pull it up online. You will see how amazing this ministry is and how many people work in helping millions of people that are disabled. If God has allowed some kind of weakness in your life, He can use it for your glory. He can use it to help somebody else. So have you lost someone you love in a death that's shocking and horrific? Well, then only you can understand in a unique way somebody who loses someone they love that way. Are you dealing with chronic pain every day? Well, you, more than most people, can have a special compassion on people that are living in pain every day. You know how to love them. You know how to meet their needs in a way that most people would not realize. Have you been mistreated physically or emotionally? Have you been stalked? Have you been falsely accused? Do you realize you have a special bond with a special understanding with anybody who's been treated that way? God allows things sometimes so that we will be able to help others who go through those things. Have you struggled with substance abuse? Only you can understand somebody that struggles with this. Several years back, remember when we had Teen Challenge come to the church? Well, I really appreciated their ministry in helping those that were abusing drugs. Well, I had a good visit with the director, and I don't remember what his name was, but he was the one that was traveling. He's the one that spoke, and he's the one that was supervising this ministry. And I had a very good conversation with him, and he told me a lot about himself. And he said at one time he had been an addict, and it had turned his life upside down many years before. But with God, he had turned his life around, and now God was using he and his wife to minister to those that are struggling with addiction. Have you seen a loved one suffer with a disability that was debilitating? Have you seen them go down? Have you seen them decline where they could no longer take care of themselves? Well, you, more than anybody, knows that helpless feeling of watching someone suffer and not being able to help. And what it does is it wounds you. But you learn how to love them. When my father got ALS, it wounded me. It's left a wound to watch him suffer. But I had the privilege to take care of him, and I realized something about myself, and I didn't even know this about myself, that I had a heart for people with disabilities. And I feel comfortable ministering to them and even touching them. I remember when I substituted for a brief time, I went to this school. I got called to go to this school, and it was a multi-handicap school. And I had the best day ever. I felt right at home with all the students, and I thought, this is great. It was so positive. It was so wonderful. And I just had a great time. And when I got done with the day, the principal took me aside and said, how was your day? And I said, it was great. She said, well, are you going to come back? I said, sure. I said, here's my phone number. Call me anytime. I'll be glad to come back. She says, I'm glad to hear that. She said, because most people don't want to come back after they've been called here. They don't want to come back. She said, particularly men. For some reason, men do not want to be here and think they can't handle it. So I became a regular sub. I subbed in every single class at that old school, got to know everybody. One day I was looking around. It was kind of funny. All the staff, it was all women, and there was me and two men in the whole school. But I realized that I had a heart for that, for people with disabilities. So, you know, when I'm traveling around, I know it sounds luxurious to be an entertainer and to sing at places. Do you know where I spend a lot of my time? I'll show you a picture right here. I was looking through all my pictures, and I found a letter written by the daughter of this lady right here who passed away. She'd seen my show several times, but I want you to look in the, not at me, but look at the audience. See, that's what I get to do. It's one of my favorite things to do, is to love people with disabilities. But I never would have known that had it not been for my dad. But I'm just doing what God called me to do. So what is it in your life that you've prayed about that God has not delivered you from? My challenge for you is to own your weakness, to use it to help somebody else, to love somebody with Jesus' love. James 4:6 says, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, it's tempting sometimes to live the Christian life without much thought. We say a quick prayer in the morning, and the idea is, Lord, I have been a Christian so long. I've been to so many Bible studies. I've heard so many sermons. I've prayed so many prayers. I pretty much have this Christian thing down. So we live our lives, and we do our own thing. We do what we want, and if something happens that requires God, then we say, okay, God, I need your help. I need some attention right here. And God, listen, if anything happens today, I'll make sure I check in with you, but I've got it. The Scripture says God resisteth people like this. It's worth anything to know Jesus, to be His friend. We don't have to hide our weaknesses. We don't have to be afraid to be vulnerable. We just have to lean on God. We just have to lean on our fellow Christians. Paul says, I will boast in my weakness and know that God's power rests on me. Do you realize how much power is in this church right now? Because every single one of us has weakness. Probably all have a thorn. God has allowed something in your life, and we have it right here. And if we would just own that weakness, and we would embrace it, and we would use God, we would allow God to use that weakness in us, imagine what He could do in our lives. Because so often, His purpose for us is tied to a wound that we have. It's tied to something like a thorn in our life, and God uses that if we will just embrace that. I was looking through all my songs and all the songs that I sing and all the hymns. Do you know they're so often tied to weakness? Here's one. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. So are you weak? Can you say it? I'm weak. I'm weak. Well, strength is available. And it's from God. But we have to humble ourselves. And we have to give our lives to Him. We have to walk with Him. You know the song, just let me walk with Thee. If you walk with God, He'll give you the strength. And He'll help you in your weakness, and He'll use it for good. We're going to have a song today of just a chance for you to rededicate your life. We're going to sing that beautiful old hymn, and let's all stand as we sing.